It's Philosophy Talk.
There's an old joke. Two elderly women are at a Catskill Mountain resort, and one of them says, "Boy, the food at this place is really terrible." The other one says, "Yeah, I know, and such small portions."
We produce so much food. We consume so much food. Why do so many people in the world go hungry?
They also sell fake food, which really knocks me out. Got rubber hot dogs, plastic fried eggs. The ones I saw are made in Austria. Imagine that, imported plastic fried eggs. Wow.
Is access to healthy food and clean water a basic human right?
Where's my food?
Our guest is global food security champion Tim Benton.
Calm down, have some dip.
Food justice.
Coming up on Philosophy Talk.
Welcome to Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence. I'm John Perry.
And I'm Ken Taylor, coming to you from the studios of KALW San Francisco.
Continuing conversations that begin at Philosopher's Corner at Stanford, where Ken and I are in the philosophy department.
Today, we're talking about food justice.
Well, there's certainly a lot of food injustice in the world, Ken. 1 in 8 people are undernourished. Over 3 million children die every year from malnutrition. Whether you're a Kantian or a utilitarian or a Rawlsian, whatever your ethical philosophy is, that's just plain wrong.
And you know, John, it's just going to get worse. I mean, if we can't produce enough food to feed the 7 billion people on the planet now, what's going to happen in a few decades when the population hits 10 billion?
Well, oddly enough, it isn't the amount of food produced that's the problem, Ken. People go hungry because they can't afford the food that is available. It's such a shame, especially since so much food is wasted. Did you know that nearly one-third, or maybe more than one-third, of the food produced doesn't even make it onto the table?
Wow, that's astounding. So look, I got an idea. More people should just try growing their own food. I bet you that would make it cheaper, and I bet you that would cut down on all that waste, too.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, but it takes resources to grow your own food. And a lot of people who can't afford to buy food grown elsewhere also can't afford to grow food in their own backyards. Yeah. Maybe they don't have backyards.
But I still think this should be, in principle at least, an easy problem to solve. You already said there's enough food to feed everyone. So we just need to figure out a better way to distribute the food, right? It's simple.
Well, yeah, it's simple to solve global warming, too, in principle. Just reduce our carbon emissions. Sounds easy. So why haven't we done that?
Well, let's not change the subject. We're talking about food, John.
Well, actually, the two subjects are pretty intertwined. Food insecurity and climate change go hand in hand. We probably won't solve either problem until we recognize their coexistence.
Well, I guess I see your point. Maybe you're talking about the environmental impact of transporting all that food. I guess I can see that if we had a more just distribution system, we'd have to move a lot more food around in a lot more places, a lot more carbon emissions.
Well, that's just the beginning. Think how many forests are cleared to raise livestock because of the consumer demand for meat, particularly meat from large animals. All those flatulent cows, Ken, have to be fed, which means that resources that could grow more reasonable food for people are used to grow food for livestock instead.
So you got a thing against meat. We should stop eating meat, right?
Well, it's not just meat. We have tastes for lots of foods that can only be grown in faraway places, whether it's tropical fruit or tea or coffee. And a lot of these places suffer from food and water insecurity. They use up valuable land growing stuff for us, and they don't grow stuff for themselves. So people in those areas can't get food, can't get water, and yet they manage to grow some coffee or quinoa for us.
It sounds like a depressing mess, John. So what do you think we do to fix it? I have to admit, I got to admit, I'm probably part of the problem. I love my morning coffee. I love a good steak, and I kind of resent, I have to admit, you're kind of guilt-tripping me into trying and making me want to give those up. And besides, I'm not convinced my giving this stuff up would do all that much.
Well, that's a traditional philosophical dilemma. One person saying the right thing won't make a difference unless there's collective action. But you're an inspiring figure in the world, Ken. You cut down a little on your steak and drink some locally grown vile coffee, and I'm sure thousands would follow your example.
Yeah, but, you know, I got to admit, I got a weakness of will, and lots of people have weakness of will. We know in our heart of hearts what the right thing is to do, but we can't just bring ourselves to do it. You know, I just.
Yeah, we all suffer from what the Greeks called akrasia, which you might think is a fancy kind of cheese, but it's actually weakness of the will. That's why we drive cars, even though we know that carbon emissions contribute to climate change.
So look, that makes me think we can't really rely on individual actions or initiatives to change this thing. What we need is major structural change. I'm not saying that individuals don't have a role to play, but what we have to do is put political pressure on our governments and corporations to do the right thing. We've got to change the institutions, not just change the individuals.
I remember political pressure. That's what we used to deal with before all of our congressmen were bought and sold by large corporations, wasn't it? I think I made some notes about that somewhere. Actually, we need more than that. We need a major cultural shift in how we think about responsibility for food insecurity, Ken. People in rich nations think that helping poor people in far-off lands is somehow a matter of personal choice, out at the edges of their concerns, sort of like charity.
What's wrong with charity? Charity is a darn good thing.
Well, charity is fine, but it shouldn't be a matter of charity. It's a matter of acknowledging the access to healthy, nutritional food, of which there is plenty, is a basic human right, something that every person on this planet is entitled to.
Yeah, so you think it's kind of like our duty to do this, not just our choice. But, you know, that makes it a really tall order, John. I mean, it would involve everything from fighting for fair wages in West Africa to ensuring access to healthy foods in West Oakland.
And to help us see even more clearly how multifaceted the problem is, we sent our roving philosophical reporter Shuka Kalantari to explore the problems of food justice, and she files this report.
Hunger causes more health problems worldwide than AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. But food justice isn't only about world hunger. It also has to do with what we eat. Our food choices can harm or help in the fight against food injustice. One way to help? Eat more chocolate. Fair trade chocolate, to be exact.
If you buy any old chocolate, you don't know what's going on in those supply chains.
That's Mary Jo Cook. She works at Fairtrade USA in Oakland, California.
Most cocoa farmers have never seen chocolate. They don't make enough money to send their kids to school or to have food security throughout the entire year.
By food security, she means having enough food to eat. Fairtrade starts with a group of farmers who agree to get certified.
That means they comply with rigorous standards around environmental sustainability, around workplace safety, around non-discrimination and gender equality, around sustainable farming practices.
In return, farmers get something called community development premiums, money for things like healthcare, food storage bins, or clean drinking water. Today, you can buy anything from Fairtrade sugar and coffee beans to Fairtrade bell peppers and bananas. On a recent trip to Haiti, Cook added mangoes to that list.
A quote that I will never forget when I met with some of these farmers was, "How many mangoes in a dozen?" And I said, "Well, 13. It's a baker's dozen." They said, "Always 13. I said, "Yeah, always 13. They said, "Because when the guy comes by with the truck, some days he'll say it's 20 mangoes to a dozen. Some days it's 25. Some days it's 18. It's whatever he wants to pay for that dozen."
The guy with the truck is now out of the picture, and the Haitian farmers can make a living wage. Today, Fairtrade USA works with 1.5 million farmers around the world, except in the United States. They said they're working on that. A couple of blocks away from Fairtrade's office, Oakland resident Ashelle Eldridge is doing something to fight food injustice locally. Ashelle says a lot of low-income neighborhoods are food deserts, places where it's easier to buy a Big Mac or a Big Gulp than it is to find a grocery store with fresh produce.
Food justice really is just the idea that people anywhere, regardless of who they are, regardless how much money they have or their race or class or gender or whatever, they have a right to have food. In a food just society, everyone would have access to healthy food.
That's why Ashelle created SOS Juice, a nonprofit that makes locally produced juice and educates kids about healthy food. Ashelle decided the best way to get people interested in why things like Cheetos and Pepsi can lead to obesity and diabetes is through hip-hop. So he wrote this song.
Ain't nothing but a G thing. MSG, GMO, genocide of street gangs. Aspartame like street cane. Monsanto was Rambo, round up with ammo. Who would have known you can die from a diet? Diabetes and the itis from the dairy and the dose of the hot fructose. So you might start a riot, might be a food fighter. That's what that feast them say. That's what my least them say. That's what that empire say. But death, diet, though, you can drop the same way.
What Ishelle Eldridge and Fairtrade USA have in common is that they both understand the power of the consumer to help fight food injustice. Sure, buying fair trade chocolate isn't going to end world hunger, and not buying junk food won't fix the obesity epidemic in America. But it sure can't hurt. For Philosophy Talk, I'm Shuka Kalantari.